Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And give us a portion from your heart to ours. In Jesus' name. How do we live with other people as believers? How do we deal with people? What do we do, for example, when someone fails? Or maybe they fail us. Or maybe somebody is unkind. Or maybe somebody is simply immature. And in some way, there is harm that comes to us. And it could be overt harm, or it can be like emotional or hurt. Like, how do we deal with that? What do we do? How do we deal with that? I think as believers, when someone fails, if we are taught, and if we are in a grace-oriented ministry, if we have grace teaching, we would say we give someone grace. Somebody fails, somebody does something, somebody is human, we give them grace. We say, let's give them grace to ourselves. Give them grace. But you know what? That's not right. I don't give people grace. This is contrary perhaps to what you are thinking. But I don't give people grace. That's not how it works. In James 4:6, the Word of God says, but He gives more grace. Wherefore He said, God resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God gives grace. And in 1 Peter 5:5, in the B part of the verse, it says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34, the Word of God says, surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. God gives grace. God gives grace. And whom does God give grace to? God gives grace to those who are humble. And He gives those grace to those who are the victims of scorners. As I was studying for this message and I was looking up that word scorners, this is the word lis in the Hebrew, and it's an interesting word, to scorn, to deride, or to boast so as to express utter contempt. The activity of the scornful, and this is from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, this part, the activity of the scornful is condemned as an abomination to people in Proverbs 24:9 and contrary to the law of the Lord in Psalm 1:1. It is an abomination for me to be a scorner, to show someone contempt. But what's interesting to me is that God scorns the scorner. If a person is arrogant, God has contempt for them. And then in His contempt for them, He resists them, and in the original language, we've talked about this before, it's a picture of a military opposition. And God sends a military operation, a divinely military operation against that person. He resists them as in a military stand. That's dangerous. That's scary to me. That God would take a stand of hostility towards someone. But He does. He does it to those who have contempt and arrogance. Oh, that is a dangerous thing. For me to be arrogant is the most dangerous thing that I can do to myself. In terms of God. Because then He will have contempt for me and militarily, in a divine sense, resist me. In a spiritual sense. What's the outcome of that? Usually it starts with haywire emotions. And then it builds. God, however, to the humble person, gives grace. To the person who simply is who they are before God, God gives them grace. To the person who is not proud, not arrogant, God gives them grace. Now, God gives grace. What do I do? Do I give grace because I have received it? No, I do not. I don't give people grace. Until I saw this, I always thought I have to give someone grace. But I don't give grace. Why not? It is a government. Grace is a government. I don't give a government. God does. And if I am humble, then God will give me the experience of the government of tender mercies, loving kindness, unmerited divine favor. And that is the government that He gives me. I cannot give that government to someone. I don't give grace. I receive grace. And we've been taught sometimes, and the idea is right, you receive grace, you give it. But do you realize what it means to say that I will give grace? It is elevating myself above grace. It is saying that I have control over grace. That it is mine to give or to not give. Grace is not mine to give or not give. Grace is for me to submit to. Because it is a government. I think that this series on grace versus iniquity is one of the most important series that I've ever preached. Because it teaches us how to live with God and how to be right with Him. I can't give grace. I'm not above it. I submit to grace and then grace controls me. I am not above grace. If I say I'm going to give grace, then there will be a time when I run out of grace to give. If I say I'm going to give grace, then there will be a time when I will not give grace. Why? Because I'm a human being. And if I do not feel like it, then you get no grace. Maybe I get angry and you get no grace. But if I'm on a good day, then I'll give you all the grace in the world. Or if you are someone I like, I'll give you grace. Believers have to be very careful not to be respecter of persons. Believers are respecter of persons frequently. They treat one person one way and another person another way. They have the character of God toward one person and the character of Satan toward another sometimes, don't they? Don't we all go there sometimes? I know I've been there. We have to be very careful as believers not to be respecter of persons. Why? Because when we are respecter of persons, we are outside of God's government. And so, I have to be careful. Don't think to yourself, I'm going to give them grace. You're not above it. You can't give it. Only God. Nowhere in the Bible is any person told to give another person grace. But in many places in the Bible, it says that God gives us grace. And always, it connects receiving grace with humility. Why? Because pride takes me to the throne of iniquity. Pride takes me to an emotional life, and that emotional life is iniquity. Pride takes me to deciding, you know what? Pride takes me to being a respecter of persons, because I'm a respecter of persons usually because of my emotions. Right? I like this one, I don't like that one. This one treats me well, that one treats me badly. And so pride will cause me to be a respecter of persons because I'm living in emotions. Pride will always exalt the emotions. The Word of God says that the soul that is lifted up is not right. But the just will live by faith. What is a lifted up soul? It's a lifted up emotion. It's a lifted up natural thought. And that soul is not right. That soul is living in the wrong kingdom. You see, one of the things about that is if I am humble, I live in faith. Have you ever considered that to not trust God is actually a form of pride? It is. To not trust God is a form of pride. And if I am humble, I live by faith. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, the Word of God says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So I enter into the government of God's grace. I enter into God's government and I don't give grace. I stand in grace. And I do it by faith. What do I do it by faith? I do it by faith in His promises and I do it by faith in His character. And so I stand in grace. I stand in the government of God and I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The fruit of the Spirit. The finished work. The glory of God is the accomplished cross. The glory of God is the redemption toward man. And I stand there by faith in His government. And now being in a government of tender mercies and loving kindness, being in a government where I do not deserve anything but I get everything from God, being in a government where compassion is the major expression of the leader of that government, being in a government where I keep myself in the love of God, in the character of God, looking for mercy, looking for the expression of that love of God. And this is the government of God. And this is where I stand and I do it by faith. So I don't give grace, I stand in it. And in 1 Peter 5:12, the true grace of God in the B part, it says the true grace of God, I stand in it through Christ because I am in Him and it is the true government of God and it says in which you stand. I don't give, I stand. Believers are so busy trying to give. You know why? Because they think they can. But they cannot. For example, stand firm against the wiles of the devil. How many people are trying to slug it out with the devil? You don't slug it out with the devil. You stand firm against the wiles of the devil. You stand. Where do you stand? You stand in grace. It's not something to give. It's something to live in. It's not something to give. Only God can give it. So what happens? 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God so loved the world that He gave someone. I don't give Christ, I receive Him. I give a word of reconciliation. You see, sometimes I think we believers are kind of funny. We think we can take the place of God. And we don't mean this. This isn't our motive. But in practical sense, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take the place of God. I'm going to give you grace. Do you see the problem with that? I'm going to give you grace. As though I had grace to give. As though it was mine to give. As though I was the issue. And you know what that is? I'm going to give you grace. That's iniquity. That's where the consciousness becomes on me. And what I can do for you. That is by definition iniquity. Isaiah 28, that's exactly what happened to Lucifer. That's where iniquity came in. Right? Where because of his beauty, his wisdom was corrupted. He became conscious of self. I'm going to give you grace. Iniquity. Isn't that exactly what Lucifer tries to do, Satan tries to do with religion? I'm going to do for you. And I elevate myself a little bit above. And you are a little bit below. And in truth, it's another form of arrogance in a way. It's not an arrogant heart that says it. But it is a form where I elevate myself and you are a little bit below me. I'm going, why? Well, you failed. So I'm going to give you grace. It's a condescension. A self-conscious condescension. I don't give grace. I give a word of reconciliation. I point someone to the one who does give grace. God loves you. He died for your sins. That mistake went on Him. You are clean now. He did it for you. Most people think they're giving grace by simply saying, oh, it's okay. And certainly there's a place for that in relationships, but oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's okay. I forgive you. And we are to forgive. But that's not the same as giving grace. When I forgive, it's actually that I forgot what you did. I choose not to entertain those thoughts. And I forget what you have done. And then I do not go into bondage. Because I have forgotten. And I am no longer you. I'm not going to hold you in bondage to your mistake. And I'm not going to be in bondage to your mistake either. And so I forget. But that's not the same as grace. Grace is a government. And what I do is I give somebody a word of reconciliation that will bring them under the government of grace. And I tell them about the Savior and I bring the Savior to them. I bring them His characteristics. I say, He loves you. He's forgiven it. He does not hold this against you. He has forgiven you and you are clean and you are pure and as driven snow. Never been touched. Never been blemished. Mistake never made. The blood has removed your sin. Mistake never a word of reconciliation. And this is what I give because I stand in grace. I am under a government. Do you see it? I am controlled by a government. The government doesn't ask my opinions. The government asks for my submission. And I am in a government of loving kindness and God doesn't ask me, what do you think of their mistake? God says, submit to my heart, to my government toward you, to the government that you are under and reveal that government. And so now I give a word of reconciliation because when someone sins, it is because they have fallen for a brief time away from that government. And now I bring them back under the government of loving kindness. Under a government of the finished work of forgiveness. Under a government that makes them clean. I don't give grace. I bring reconciliation. I bring them to my Savior. And He fixes what is broken. In Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God desires for you to have the fullness of grace. He wants you under that government and He desires to give you the fullness of the fruit of that government. He wants you to experience all that it means. All of His kingdom. All of His authority towards you. All of His loving kindness. You see, that's the thing. If I'm saying I'm going to give you grace, I'm not under loving kindness. I'm trying to produce loving kindness. In Hebrews 4:16, somebody fails and I give them a word of reconciliation so they can come boldly. And where do they come boldly to? They come boldly to a throne. they come boldly to the source of that government. And this is the word of reconciliation. Come boldly to the source of God's government, that you may obtain mercy and help in time of need. I don't point to you. I don't say, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to say, go to God. Go to Him just as you are. Go to His government. Go to grace. And He'll give you mercy for your failure. Do you see the importance of this? It's a question of which kingdom will you live under. This is a kingdom issue. Never become familiar with the kingdom issues. This is a kingdom issue. This is a how will your life be lived issue. Religion takes you into the wrong kingdom and makes it look good. Good side of the tree. Same tree that has an evil side. Do you realize what this is? The importance of this? Honestly, I'm not sure everybody does. I think many Christians don't realize the importance of this. Many Christians don't realize what grace really is. Many Christians try to do it by the law. I'm going to give you. I have to produce it, and then I will give it. That's a form of law. I'm going to be good to you. That's what they're saying. I'm going to be good to you. It doesn't work that way. In Galatians 5:4, if I do that, then Christ has become of none effect. And I'm fallen from grace. Because I'm trying to be justified under the law. I'm trying to be godly under the law. It's not grace. It's falling from grace. That doesn't work that. It's falling out of the government. I cannot do that. In Psalm 94:20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee which frames mischief by that law? I cannot do that. So how does it work? I don't live by the law. I give reconciliation, but it is a government. And what is a government built on? How is a government implemented? A government is implemented with laws, including God's government. But we don't live under the law. Oh, but that's not entirely so. We do live under a law, but it's not under the Mosaic law. But we do live under a law, and grace has a government, and that government has laws. And what does that law say in James 2:8? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, the royal law, God's law, the law of the government of God, the king's law, the government of grace, there is a law of grace. And what is that law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when you do that, you do well under the law that is the royal law of grace. It is the royal law of love. And it is grace's law. It is the law of that government. It is grace's law. Do you see it? Grace has a law. And the grace law is agape love. The grace law is agape love. John 13:34, a new commandment, a commandment, not a suggestion, not a good idea, a new command, an order from God, the King, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not with a human love. Not with a sentimental love. Not with a conditional love. as I have loved you, and this is the command, this is the law that the government of grace has established for man on earth. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Do you realize what it is? If I, as a believer, show anyone anything other than agape love, I don't have to appreciate the way somebody acts, but I give them unconditional love of God based on what I receive from God, not on anything about that person. If I don't give agape love, then I am in violation of the laws of God's government. What happens then? Then I need to repent. Why? Agree with your adversary quickly. Agree with the prosecutor quickly. I have broken the law. Agree with him quickly. Lest he send me to the judge and I get cast in prison. Why? How does a believer who fails agape love get cast into prison? Number one, it leads to a self-oriented horizontal plateau that kills my emotions. And in that prison of my emotions, I am constantly being prodded and needled and tormented by the horizontal because I am imprisoned to emotions. Because I did not apply agape love. I have violated grace's law. If I violate grace's law, I become the issue. If I become the issue, I'm in Satan's government now. I'm in exile, if you will, in a manner of speaking. Exile from grace. Imprisoned unto my own natural thinking, my own emotions. How do I like it? How do I not like it? Never deal with anyone outside of agape. Never deal with anyone outside. And I don't mean you pamper them. I don't mean you cater to their flesh. Christ never catered to my flesh. He crucified it. But He put my sins on Himself. That was agape. Agape is dependent on the righteousness of judgment of God for its full expression. So I don't get sentimental towards somebody's flesh, to their old sin nature. I give them words of reconciliation that bring them under God's government also. That's agape. That's what agape did for me. God so agape'd the world. And He brought it under Himself, under His government. Whoever believed on Him, because it's a government I enter through faith. If I am under agape, I cannot speak evil against my brother. James 4:11. Because if I speak against my evil against my brother, I'm a judge of the law. What law? The royal law. If I can take on Satan's ministry, speak evil, a kingdom. Right? A kingdom. Satan's government. Kingdom. Evil. Iniquity. If I can speak evil against a brother, if I can have Satan's ministry in Revelation chapter 12 against my brother, then I have judged the law. I have judged the character and nature and essence of who God is, because God is agape. God is that love. And if I say I love God and I hate my brother, what does it mean to hate my brother? I don't give him agape. If I say I love God but hate my brother, I am a liar and there is no truth in me. Do you see the unbelievable importance of this? Agape is the law of the government of grace. What happens if I violate the law in the world? I go in prison. And I can stay there for years, and I can stay there for the rest of my life. I can even be executed. Do you think God is any more careless about His law than the world is about theirs? Grace has a law. It's a royal law of love. And I operate in the royal law of love if I want to be under the government of grace. And if I refuse to operate in the royal law of love, then I'm under the government of iniquity. That's Satan's government. Believer after believer after believer after believer will not live in God's royal law. And they try to replace it with a Mosaic law. And it's mischief. The government of God saved me, and it delivers me. And it was not from me. It was God's gift to me. It's in Ephesians 2:8. But grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I grow in love. And I grow in my ability to live in that government, to walk properly in that government, to live under that, submitted to that government, and as I grow in doctrine. Think about something. Why do I always harp on getting the Word? And not only getting it, but getting it first thing in the day. Because I need a provision to help me operate under God's government at the beginning of the day, not at the end. People say to themselves, I don't think anybody here, so please don't misunderstand, that people in general who have a conviction about receiving the Word of God say to themselves, oh, I can get it later. No, you can't either. How is it that you're going to be under God's government of grace when you grow in it through the Word of God? When you are brought into it through the Word of God. Okay, I'll operate in Satan's government through the day and then get out of Satan's government in the evening. Wrong. That's why Israel ate the manna in the morning. He didn't give it to them in the evening. They had a whole day to get through. He gave it to them in the morning. Why do believers think they can do without it in the morning and just get it in the evening? That's not how it works. Believers too often are absolutely clueless. They are clueless. They have not one inkling of a clue. This is why they become familiar towards the Word, saying, I'll get it later. Excuse me. That's not how it works. Thus saith the Lord. That's not how it works. There's a government. And there's an order. You want to operate in Satan's kingdom through the day? You go ahead and just not get the Word in the morning. And I will guarantee you that's what's going to happen. Why? You won't have a provision that day. You don't say, I'll get it later. I'll operate in Satan's government till 3 o'clock. And then I'll start to operate, get a provision to operate in God's government. Lukewarm, puke Christianity makes God want to throw up. You get the Word and you get it first thing. You don't wait. You don't say later. You don't say I'm too busy. You don't say I'm too tired. You get it the first thing. Why? Because there's a government. There's a kingdom. You don't operate out of Satan's kingdom. You get the word, you get it first thing. You get the word. You get the word. You need a provision from God to operate in His kingdom that day. Because otherwise all you have is iniquity. There is nothing else. If I don't have something from God, I know this is absolutely true in my life. And you know what? I know it's absolutely true in yours. Why? Because the Bible says so. If I don't have a provision first thing in the morning from God, you know what I did? I went out and bought an alarm clock that plays CDs. I wake up to the Word of God. Why? Because I can't stand not having it the first thing when I open my eyes. Why? Because there's a kingdom. I can't afford to enter into another kingdom, not for 2 minutes. I need that provision right away. I have an old sin nature. I have emotions. I have natural thoughts. I can't afford them. I bring myself by my own volition, by listening to the Word of God, into His kingdom in the morning. You get it the first thing. You don't wait. You get it the first thing. You don't say there's something more important. If you've got a schedule, get up a little earlier.
God forbid we do that. My precious sleep.
Got news for you. The Word of God can quicken you. The Word of God raised people from the dead. It can quicken your sleepy body. Get the Word. Get God's Word. Don't put it off. Get God's Word first. Not later. First. Teach yourself to develop a disciplined habit of God's Word first. You'll need it. And in this day and age in particular, it isn't going to get any better. How do I know this? We're in the beginning of sorrows. We're in the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get worse. The believer cannot afford to be apart from the Word right away. That is the characteristic of the lukewarm Laodicean mentality. Delaying obedience towards the Word. By the way, that's what stubble is. You know what I'm referring to? Wood, hay, and stubble? That's stubble. When the Word is taken from you, that's stubble. Aborted Word of God. A believer after believer aborted in the morning and they try to go into their day. You know what that's like? That's like laying down your armor, laying down your weapons, and going out in the battlefield. Have fun. You're going to get killed. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Don't think that you have the capacity for agape love outside of filling of God's Word. You do not. Why? That Word that you're putting off, it became flesh. You're putting off Christ for a while. Christ, I'll get to you at 3. Or whenever. Have fun in Satan's kingdom. Grace has a government. Grace is a government. Grace is a government. And the government has a law. And the law is love. And I cannot enter it apart from growing in the knowledge of Christ, apart from doctrine. Start your day with God's Word. When I was a young believer, every morning I would drive clear across town. It was about an hour drive. And then I would go to college, which was clear on the other side of town. So I drove 2 hours every morning for 20 to 30 minutes of a devotion from my pastor. And you know what? The 2 years that I did that were the biggest growth years of my life, even bigger than Bible college. Grace is a government. Do I give people grace? No. I stand in it and I love them. That's how I deal with people. I stand in grace. I bring a word of reconciliation and I love them.